Good afternoon, everyone. We are back with this week's episode of the First in Tech podcast. I'm your host, Technician Sports Editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I'm your other host, Assistant Sports Editor Alex Sawyer.
And we've got a guest joining us for pretty much the entirety of the episode today. It is our first guest from this show, News and Observer, NC State beat writer, Joe Giglio. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me back.
That's great to have you back. So, guys, the seems like it is. It was just yesterday, but the regular season has come to a close. NC State picking up the win over arch rival UNC Chapel Hill. What did you guys see in that game?
The importance of Nyheim Hines. You know, I remember we talked in the beginning of the season. I thought Reggie Gillespie would be really important for NC State this year, just because I thought Nyheim would be more of a change of pace back. But obviously, the offense kind of went with Nyheim. We saw that when he was out, really, at Notre Dame, when he hurt his ankle. And then he was obviously not full strength against Clemson. So he made a huge difference. Pitt, Boston College, and then in this game on Saturday with those two big home runs.
Yeah, I think Nyheim was important. And you mentioned that Pitt game and some of the other games this year where you've seen how important he is for that offense and moving. But I think you look at that, that's a good win for State. You get those rivalry games and you never know what can happen. I think Carolina looked better than they have a lot of this season, but State pulls it out at the end, and that's a win you need to get, but it's one they do.
Yeah, I think Nyheim definitely is a key part for this NC State offense. All year, it was kind of funny. I was talking to another former guest of ours after the game, Corey Smith of Pack Pride, and he pointed out, and I think I agree, if NC State does not have Nyheim Hines all year, this team probably goes 5-7. If they have him healthy and 100% all year, probably goes 10-2. So really an important factor in the season. The NC State pulls this game out. It's not pretty, but they do get it done. It's a rivalry game. It's always, you know, it's always a game that's going to kind of be like that. So they finished the season, the regular season, at 8-4, 6 ACC wins for the first time since 1994. So what are your kind of general observations from this season, Joe?
I thought they left a little bit on the table. I thought 6-2 in the league was really good. No doubt about that. I don't think I saw that coming. But the South Carolina game, you know, you go back to the opener, they give up the kickoff on the first play of the game. They give up a fumble. Finley fumbled on a play where we didn't know Will Richardson was not going to play in that game, but he wasn't there, and the backup gives up a sack. Turns out to be a fairly important part of that game. And then just the fact that they had three chances this year to win games with the offense, with Finley with the ball, and they lost all those games, Wake Forest, Clemson, and South Carolina. Those are the kind of things that separate you from 8-4 and a better season. Even 9-3 gives you a chance in the bowl to win 10 games. So I think ultimately you say good, but not great.
One of the biggest things from this season that we look at that was a big factor week in, week out, was the play of Ryan Finley overall. You know, he did have a few, you know, not great weeks, but takes a big step forward. What did you see from Ryan Finley this season?
No, I thought Ryan Finley was a lot better this year than he was last year. He wasn't bad last year, but we talked about at the beginning of the year that he really was just kind of facilitator last year. But he had some really good games. Obviously, that South Carolina one was really out of the gate one where he really impressed me. But he did have some worst games towards the end of the year, but I think he looked really good out there, and I think he was a big reason why this offense was improved like it was.
Yeah, and I think another thing you have to look at for this offense is how good that receiver group was. I mean, Kelvin Harmon, Steph Lewis, Jacoby Myers has a big breakout year. I'm not sure how many of us saw that his huge season coming. And then, of course, the one we got to talk about is one that's going to leave is Jalen Samuels. I mean, he finishes the year 935 total yards, 15 total touchdowns, second in school history in total touchdowns, which, you know, people thought nobody was ever going to sniff Ted Brown's record. Just What did Samuels mean to this school and this program in the time that he was here?
I mean, obviously, the production you can't argue with. And I've kind of made a bit of my Twitter fame by charting where J-Sam plays and where he lines up and what he does. I thought he kind of hit a wall, though, in the middle of the season. You know, he had more drops this year than in years past. I didn't quite see the burst, really, ever since that Louisville game where he had the long catch and run. I thought he was just a smidge off of where he normally is by his own standard. But when you talk about the career marks and catches and touchdowns and the season marks and catches and touchdowns, and I think one of the things this year, one of a great value for him was just being on the field more. I think that helps Jacoby Myers. I think that helps Nyheim Hines. I think that helps Kelvin Harmon. And that was something in years past where I just never understood why they took him off the field as much as they did.
Yeah, definitely. And now switching sides of the ball, obviously the seniors on the offensive side, some of the offensive linemen and Samuels, but on the defensive side you lose a lot more significant seniors, led, of course, by Bradley Chubb, now holds the school record in sacks. And, I mean, he had 10 sacks this year, 25 tackles for loss, and he takes that school record for Mario Williams. I mean, how good was he? How good has he been in his 4 years here? And, like, what kind of legacy does he leave? And also, looking at next year with the NFL draft coming up, I mean, what's his potential as far as draft pick? How high can he go?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt he could be the first non-quarterback taken in the draft next year. So it depends on how those picks shake out. You figure the two kids from California and the way that the draft has gone lately, it's just been a quarterback crazy. People reach for quarterbacks even though they may not be the best player. With Bradley, he leaves as one of the best defensive players in school history. I expect he'll be named the defensive player of the year in the league. He'll probably win one of the national awards as the national best player on defense. So even Mario Williams, I don't believe, accomplished either one of those. So it's a great mark for him. And I thought the best part for Chubb was his best games were Florida State and Louisville in the beginning of the year when State really needed him to be very good. And that was a great sign for him to play at his best when the team really needed it.
So with all of that in mind, you know, all these guys that came in this year, contributed to this season, NC State, 8-4 in the regular season. That's the best regular season under head coach Dave Doran. Maybe not quite the leap that some people were looking for and hoping for from this team, but still a very strong season. Guys, if we have to evaluate this season in terms of calling it point blank a successful season or a failure of a season, what would you call it?
It's a success. I mean, this isn't Florida State or Clemson or Alabama. I mean, Alabama would be disappointed at 8-4. Alabama would be disappointed at 10-2. But NC State, you know, for what they've been, I think in 5 years and 10 years, they're going to look back at this and you're going to see like 10 to 12 guys on this team in the NFL. And that's when people are going to be like, no, wait a second, what happened? And that's when you start to piece a couple things back together. It'll be interesting to see where Finley ends up in the NFL draft. I suspect he'll leave. I suspect he'll go after this year. So it'll be interesting to see, because when that happens, when you have guys who go early in the draft, because Chubb will be in the top 10, if not top 5, then you see and you go, no, wait, what? They went what? And that's where you kind of, the legacy question comes in. But overall, I think they had a good season, and it was a successful one. But I think even if you ask the players, which I did on Saturday, they'll tell you we left a few out there.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. You look at 8-4, and they were where they wanted to be in the ACC. I mean, you get that game against Clemson, that's pretty much to get you into the ACC championship game. But then you have the Wake Forest one after that, South Carolina at the beginning of the year. A lot was left on the table. 8 wins isn't bad, but this team could have accomplished more. And then when you go in and you look at the games they did lose, that Clemson loss, that Wake Forest loss, that South Carolina loss, those are games they really could have won. So when you look at that, I think it is a little disappointing that you have four losses instead of maybe just two or three, but as a whole, successful. A lot of guys had really good years, and it was a step in the right direction for this program for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of you. And I think the thing that I want to harp on is that step in the right direction. I think it takes a while before we truly see what this season meant. I think if you look at some of the pieces that are coming back and you look at NC State's schedule next year, this is a team that could win 8 games again. And then again, the key is to do it again and again. And then maybe you have that season where you beat Wake Forest, you beat South Carolina, maybe even you beat Clemson. And I was looking at earlier this morning, it took Frank Beamer 7 years to win 9 games at Virginia Tech. So it is a build, it is a process. And the thing I want to go to next from there is to talk a little bit about Dave Doran and where we see him going from here. I think it's probably safe to say the school wouldn't want to make any changes, but any possibility that other schools are looking at him and that he may leave. And if not, are you looking at possibly a contract extension for him at NC State?
Yeah, they're working on a deal for him, and I think that would probably get done. Now, the 8th win gives him an automatic year onto his deal. Anything can happen in college. We saw that Sunday when Tennessee hired Greg Schiano and then fired him, essentially because their fans didn't like him. So
you think this fan base has a rabid Twitter following? I have seen nothing like I saw from Vols Nation on the web yesterday.
Yeah, so anything can really happen. I suspect he'll be back. I suspect his contract will be extended and taken care of. He'll get a raise. Again, the part about this year was they were building towards this year. I think you make a great point about Frank Beamer, and there's some other programs that have had it's taken longer to build, and then they get to a point and they sustain it. The thing for NC State, especially if Finley leaves, and they'll have some other guys leave too, is even if their schedule is easier next year, they're going to have a hard time getting back to 8 wins next year. And the one thing I feel like with – you're always compared to Carolina, you're always compared to Duke in this area. And when – Carolina and Duke they won their division in their kind of special seasons. They beat all the teams that they were supposed to. And NC State still hasn't done that yet. They need to have a season where you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And you cannot convince me South Carolina is not on that list. And then Wake Forest turns around and loses to a very, very, very average Duke team the next week. Very average.
That's a state champion, Duke, to you.
They are. They won their state games. But it's like, I left Winston-Salem thinking, Wake Forest is pretty good. I mean, they didn't have two of their best players in Greg Dortch and Duke Ejiofor. And I was like, wow, they beat state. And then that's, if you're NC State, and you're looking at that, you're going, ain't even Notre Dame. Notre Dame looked like $8 million when they beat state. They've looked like a bag of crap since. They go to Miami and get roadhoused. They go to Stanford and get run over. I mean, they look like trash ever since they've played state.
Well, your point about Notre Dame brings me a good transition to our next point. And it's Notre Dame, really, when you look at it, has been hurting NC State ever since that loss. They beat them. Nyheim Hines gets injured in that game. That hurts them against Clemson. And now that Notre Dame has decided to fall apart, it has thrown an absolute wrench into the ACC bowl picture. Joe, I know this is something that you know a lot about. Talk bowl to me, Joe. What have you been hearing? Where is NC State most likely to end up? What are other possibilities? Just let's lay it all on the line. Sure. What's the bowl picture like?
Well, this happened in 2014, where Notre Dame ended up in the ACC bowl order and knocked NC State out of the Charlotte, out of the Belk Bowl. And NC State wasn't happy about it then. They're not going to be happy about it this year because Notre Dame's going to end up in Orlando. Now, the question is, are there going to be two spots in Orlando or just one? We won't know that answer until Sunday, until we get the college football playoff rankings. NC State has a chance to be the second team in Orlando. They have a chance to be the team in Jacksonville. Right now, though, I think it's most likely that they'll play in the Sun Bowl. in El Paso.
The Sun Bowl, though, that being the one that's a 26-hour drive from here.
That'd be tough for you. Yes.
it'd be a bit of a trek. We'd have to talk about that. But, all right.
But that's not a bad game. You play the Pac-12. It would probably be Oregon. Sure. It's on in the middle of the day. It's a traditional game. I know it's not great for fans, but actually for the program, it actually wouldn't be that bad. Particularly if you think about if they played LSU in the Gator Bowl, we've already seen what happens when NC State plays an SEC team. It doesn't really go that well. Especially one they should beat.
You've definitely got a point there. The one projection I've seen a couple times that doesn't make much sense to me is NC State back to Charlotte in the Belk Bowl. I just have a hard time seeing the Belk Bowl go and take the same ACC team 2 out of 3 years for one of its spot for its spot there.
Yeah, the question for the Belk Bowl is going to be who do they have on the other side? They really want South Carolina. And the problem is with that SEC order, particularly with Alabama losing. Like, I think Alabama will still get into the playoff. I have very little doubt about that at one loss. So if now two teams in the SEC are going to be in the actual playoff, which moves everybody up in the SEC, which probably puts South Carolina out of the equation. So now you're Charlotte and you're looking at either Texas A&M with no coach or Missouri with no fans. So who do you want on the other end of that? You know, you could put Wake Forest there with South Carolina. You'd sell enough tickets. Now you're going to ask Wake Forest to sell enough tickets to carry Missouri. That's when you're the Belk Bowl and you have to ask yourself, would we be better off with NC State? And then you also have to ask NC State, do you want to come for the second time in 3 years and third time if you count the kickoff?
So it's kind of so what you're kind of saying with that is that is going to depend a lot on what SEC team ends up in the Belk Bowl, because obviously if it's South Carolina, you're not going to do NC State, South Carolina at Bank of America twice in the
no,
same
that,
year.
No, that wouldn't happen.
Well, that's good because I don't really need to see that again. But anyway, guys, like we've talked about, we've had a lot of, you know, great standout seasons for this NC State team. I want each of us to kind of pick our team MVP for the Wolfpack this year.
Yeah, I'll start. And I think it's Bradley Chubb. I think he had really good games, and Joe mentioned his performances against Florida State, Louisville, where he really steps up. He's the best player on this team, and I don't think there's much question about his talent level being the best, but I think some of the games he had this year, some of the things he can really do, just get around that line, get into the backfield. I think he's just a really special talent. I think he had a really good year, and of course, adding on to his really good career here at NC State. So he's definitely my MVP of this team.
I am going to go, again, I've kind of been saying this all year. I think the biggest difference for NC State between this year and last year, and in the games that they won this year that they maybe don't win last year, is the play of Ryan Finley. He worked all summer. He worked on his two-minute drill. He worked on his deep ball. Both of those were much improved. Going into the Notre Dame game, he did not throw an interception. Having him, his ability to take care of the ball, his ability to move the chains on offense, his ability to just add just kind of a little bit more to this passing attack for NC State, I think, again, was the biggest factor in this year. I'm going Ryan Finley for team MVP.
Special shout out to Kelvin Harmon, who I thought was really good. And might end up being the best pro.
Absolutely. On the scene. This podcast is a 110% Kelvin Harmon appreciation zone.
But you said MVP, valuable. And there's no doubt that's Nyheim Hines. Not even close. Appreciate what Chubb did this year. And Finley did get better. But you saw what happened with State without Nyheim. And just the difference it makes, they have a lot of good players, I think, State. They only have one guy, though, that can hit home runs, and that was Nyheim. And when he wasn't there, you know, it was tough for them to generate. They had to manufacture so much without him.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. If you are looking at most valuable, I again go back to, I think this team beats Clemson and beats Wake Forest, and it's even a different game against Notre Dame if Nyheim Hines is in the game at 100%. And you lose against Carolina, Pitt, and Louisville. I mean, Nyheim Hines was huge in all of those games, especially Carolina and Pitt. I mean, against Pitt, you're down. NC State comes out totally flat in that game. You're down 14-0 at halftime if he's not in the game. And against Carolina, that third quarter, I mean, that was until he broke that run. Joe, you were there. That was one of the worst quarters of football I have ever had the pleasure of taking in. Yeah. I mean, that was rough. And Nyheim, that's just the kind of player he is. He is a game breaker. That is what he did. He broke that game open. And he did that with a few games. And there were a few really good games for NC State this year. We'll start with you on this one, Joe. What was, in your mind, NC State's best game, best win in this season?
Their best game was Clemson. Best win, I guess it has to be Louisville, but Boston College really was gangbusters there. They beat Louisville, they beat Florida State. Going to go up there and beat them in kind of a game where they didn't really play that well. I thought that was a great step for NC State to win that game, but the actual best game they played all year was against Clemson.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I know I talked to you about this, Andrew, after the Boston College game, that you get the ranked wins against Florida State and Louisville, but the best team you probably beat was Boston College. But I would say the best game NC State, apart from the Clemson game where they did play well, that Louisville game at home on a Thursday night, they had the Heisman Trophy winner coming in, and they won that game, and that was still when State was rolling. You just have the one loss to open the season. So I think that was the biggest, best win for this program. I think that's what really kind of pushed NC State into the national attention after the Florida State game, and then to have the Louisville one.
I'm going to go different. I'm going to go, and maybe I'm biased this one because it was kind of my first, you know, true road game on the beat, but that Florida State win, I know this was a down year for Florida State. I know this is not your father's Florida State. This is not your grandfather's Florida State. That's still a stadium, a place where 77%, I believe is what Dave Doran said after that game, of teams walk into Tallahassee and lose. And I just think at the time, that's Dave Doran's first win against, at the time, a top 25 opponent. It proves what NC State can do. It was kind of the first, you know, tangible result this season. This is what can happen when we go and we play our game and we play the way we're capable of playing. I just think that the Florida State win is kind of what started it all for the NC State to take that step this season. So I'm going to go with that one. And with, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think one thing that is important is to kind of look at who NC State is losing in terms of seniors, who they might lose, who might leave, and kind of how the team is set up for next season. Kind of how, what is your thoughts in terms of that overall picture, Joe?
I mean, a lot of that will depend on Finley, because I think they really like Matt McKay, and I think he could be the quarterback next year, or it could be Devin Leary. Or it could be Jalen McClendon. So there's a big difference between having a guy starting his third year between any of those other three guys starting their first year. I do think the offensive line will be good. I think Jacoby Myers could step right into a lot of the same types of things that Jalen Samuels does. I think he'll have an excellent season next year. Kelvin Harmon's only going to get better. Defensively, it's going to be a struggle. Chubb made so many plays on defense. And their secondary was not good, and their safeties in particular. And those guys are back, so they're going to have to get better. They're going to have to figure out a way to get better. I know they have a transfer from Tennessee who they'll put back there that they feel pretty good about. But, you know, defensive line, particularly if Darian Roseboro goes pro, you're looking at a lot of new guys there. Jermaine Pratt on defense, I thought, last game in particular was really good. I think he could be really good for them next year. But you're looking at a lot of games in the 30s and 40s next year with Finley. And then without him, you're hoping that either Leary, McKay, or McClendon can step in and keep pace, because it'll be a tough, kind of wide open type season, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think that knowing who your quarterback is and having that continuity at quarterback is huge. And listeners, Wolfpack Nation is being dealt another great loss at the end of this season. Bigger than Jalen Samuels, bigger than Bradley Chubb. Even if Ryan Finley leaves, folks, Joe Giglio is leaving us. The NNO has transferred him up the road to the UNC Chapel Hill beat. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, Joe. What is your favorite memory on the NC State beat at the News and Observer?
Oh, I think I've said this before, but just the 2012 basketball postseason starting in Atlanta. It was a loss to Carolina, but it was a great game. Just a heated, old-fashioned game between two sides that really didn't like each other, and then the officials added kind of a third side to it. That was the year of the Carl Hess tape and everything else. And then both State and Carolina were in St. Louis in the regionals, and it was just a crazy atmosphere to be in, and really kind of made you yearn for the 70s when, and even the early 80s when the ACC was the ACC before, you know, it meant a Tuesday night in Pittsburgh or, you know, playing Louisville twice. So I was a sucker for those type of moments. Even though it was a loss for NC State, I thought those, that little stretch there was about 3 weeks in March of 2012 was pretty good for NC State.
Yeah, definitely some fond memories of the NCAA tournament here. That is, I think, all we have for you guys this week. I want to thank Joe again for joining us again. Again, I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
I'm your other host, assistant sports editor Alex Sawyer.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe. It was great to have you. We will talk to you guys again next week. Thanks for listening, everyone.